Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. Well, at the last moment, I realized that I'd forgotten to connect something electronically. You know, so I guess I've been mesmerized by what to say and what we're going to discuss today. And we've got some fantastic guests. I can't wait to speak to mayoral candidate Sean Patterson Howard, who is running 200 votes above all her challengers at minimum, the second place garnerer of votes. And she'll be on from 10 to 10:30. And then from 10:30 to 11, we're going to speak to David Rubin. He's the author of Trump and the Jews. We're going to talk to him about the crisis, or just as the culmination of a crisis that's been simmering for quite a while with respect to Iran, their nuclearization program, atomic energy prowess that it looks like they're on the road now. They've already declared that they have breached the maximum level that was permitted under the old, agreement. So we'll see where all that goes. Well, what's very interesting, if you haven't heard yet, is certainly with respect to Sean Patterson Howard. She evidently proved herself to be an independent thinker, very lucid. She was the only woman in the barrage of different candidates that were out there, which was really interesting. And that may have helped to a great extent, because she has an attitude, a different demeanor, which is more accommodating and less, a battle that she wages every time she opens her mouth. And which was done by the other people, and I think that people got tired of that. And interestingly enough, there was drama right after the 200 point lead that Sean Patterson Howard had, and we understand now that certification of the actual election outcome, that is going to be certified by tomorrow. So the Westchester County Board of Elections is going to certify the actual contest, and we'll see where that ends. So in the meantime, though, the person in the lead is Sean Patterson Howard, and she leads the present mayor by over 200 votes. The present mayor made assertions that on radio on another station that he was made aware that there would be an attempt by 205 votes to undermine his ability to actually win the election process. Well, but he didn't say anything about it prior to it coming about that there are challenges now. So he didn't warn people that this might take place. Then there were a lot of issues that came up. Some people were told to go from one district, from the north part of the city to the southern part of the city. People were not made aware, supposedly, that they could actually present a written ballot, that there were no other options. They were told they couldn't sign, even though they were signing there for years and years, and that their name wasn't on the rolls. It was just truly amazing. So very, very compelling, to say the least. But it turned out it was not, well, as far as some people were concerned, they should have been warned. And others are saying, well, there was no reason to say anything. And when Mayor Thomas was questioned about that today, interestingly enough, he says he can't say, meaning that he won't say, or that he can't say because there is no such thing as anyone behind this scheme to undermine of voters and or to dissuade them from going out to vote. And or cause them not to vote at all because they weren't going to be able to move from one part of town to the other part of town in order to make the vote. So it's very, very interesting, but it seems to be more of the drama that I see comes out of Richard Thomas's little bag of tricks. And today we learned also, because he was in a discussion that he supposedly never got control, he was removed from the bank from his ability to sign as a countersignature as a bank account. That's never been resolved. The question is why? And since that is part of the charter, and why isn't that being abided by the banking system? How could they just let that go? How is it that the courts wouldn't be able to actually force this, acceptability of the standards of the city? Since it is in the charter, why wasn't that resolved? There's just so many issues. Why wasn't it ever taken up by the Mount Vernon City Council? One of the candidates was the city council president. And, so you really have to wonder, what kind of mess is this that they've left behind? And it looks like they're just really leaving a mess. What a filthy, filthy mess. And I blame that on the mayor, who's been talking a good game, trying to stir a tremendous amount of anger and resentment all over, finger pointing to this one and that one, and yet he's been one of the participants. And he's still blaming one after the other. Well, we don't have enough DPW trucks. We don't have this. We don't have that. Well, he's been at it for 3.5 years. What has he been doing for 3.5 years that he couldn't get it done? Why wasn't everything resolved before? He may not be a lawyer personally, but he certainly talks a good game, and he has lawyers, so they've been giving him guidance. So what's going on with that? Well, you know, there's just so much that keeps on going on in that city, and it's because the same actors are still at it. And it's just really very, very compelling and very disheartening, because at the end of the day, we don't see where any of this stuff is going. And it's really very, very cruel, no matter how we look at it. Well, you know what? I'm going to take a quick break, find out what's going on in our neck of the woods, in the hope that maybe we get a hold of Sean Patterson. Howard, we'll see you in a moment.
Hey, you a judge?
Sorta. I report on cheese. I don't judge.
Well, I heard on the radio Cabot Cheddar always wins awards for taste.
Well, let me see my notes. Best taste? Check. Best texture? Check. The farm families in Cabot, Vermont have won every major award in the cheese world.
Every award?
Every.
What about the U.S. Cheese Championships?
Cabot's won that many times.
How about the American Cheese Society Contest?
Cabot won it.
World Cheese Championship Award?
Best in class on cheddar.
Fiery Food Challenge.
Cabot.
International Fancy Food Show.
Cabot rules.
The Stanley Cup.
That's hockey.
Oh.
Look, Cabot's won awards for best sharp, best light, best butter, and best cheddar.
Yeah, but a certain big cheese company's TV ad show, they won an award from judges wearing bright yellow lab coats.
Oh, those are actors.
Not real judges?
Real judges wear white lab coats.
They do.
Look, Cabot is best because they own the company, ship the milk, make the cheese. They won so many times, the real judges even asked one of Cabot's cheesemakers to be a judge.
I don't believe you.
Here, taste.
Hey, I can taste why Cabot's won every award.
You be the judge.
And I get to wear a yellow lab coat.
White lab coat. Check.
The best tasting cheddar on the planet is...
Time and time again.
Cabot Cheddar.
Check.
Welcome back. This is Westchester on the Level. My name is Hezzy Harris. Well, unfortunately, our guest today, Sean Patterson Howard, who is leading in the contest for mayor in the city of Mount Vernon. We expected her on today at 10 o'clock, but evidently she's not able to make it for whatever reasons. It's about 9 minutes after the broadcast of the program began. We do intend to call up David Rubin in Israel, the author of Trump and the Jews, at 10:30. And he's such a busy scheduler. I would call him earlier if I knew that he was just waiting for our call, but that is not the case. So I don't know where to go with this issue. There are just so many concerns. One thing that was telling about that particular race is that toward the end, because Sean Patterson Howard was disregarded as really a contender for a long time. And yet she was able to, you know, get a rejuvenated effort, which came about. And at the end, she won, even though it seems like only 200 and some odd votes. I think that's winning handily. And I can't wait for the Westchester County Board of Elections to actually make their decision known and to certify the election by tomorrow. Now, that's what's interesting as well, because the allegations or the assertions made by Richard Thomas, the present mayor, the incumbent, who I believe has lost, he's suggesting that his lawyers have challenged and are going to have legally challenged the Westchester County Board of Elections for their I guess, involvement in this particular contest. And to what extent, I don't know, because he never explained it. So a tremendous amount of inference that was being foisted out there, yet no credibility whatsoever on any level, not on one issue but or two issues, but none. Not one iota of information that would make it seem reasonable. He could have also simply said, you know, we have to wait for the certification process, but he doesn't believe that the Westchester County Board of Elections can certify it at all. So he's suggesting that they're not in a credible position. They have no right to even consider it. And yet at the same time, they are regarded as the ultimate arbiter at the end of the day. So what do we expect out of this? Are we expecting lawsuits from here to Kingdom Come? I'm sorry, but the elections have to be decided, and the only arbiter here is none other than the Westchester County Board of Elections. I don't see what they're going to accuse the Westchester County Board of Elections. Where were they short of doing the right thing? What was the problem? And why is there a problem? And why is the problem now after the fact, when we could have all been warned that there was a threat to the integrity of the contest? Why weren't people warned? Who was Mr. Thomas trying to defend by not telling people, we want you to be aware that there may be people out there with nefarious interests who want to dissuade you from going out to vote? Going to tell you that you can't vote in a particular place that you've been voting at for years, and they're going to tell you to go somewhere else. You know, where does all this intimidation come from? And the fact that you could still intimidate, voters is seemingly outrageous. I mean, you know, it's not like Mount Vernon just popped up out of the blue. They came in from Mars and landed where they are in Westchester County, and these people are unaware. These are these are very well respected people, business people. They run the gamut from the very, very wealthy to people who are challenged financially, as in every community. But these people know what's going on. That's the bottom line. There's more stuff that they know than anybody in media will ever be able to even fathom. That's how clued in they are, and people are aware of it. But it is interesting as well that there is also a tremendous fear factor, even in Mount Vernon, as there is in Yonkers to some extent, with respect to just speaking to power. And so if this is the outcome, this seems like an atrocity in the making, and I just can't imagine that it would be allowed to continue. And the question then is, who's going to have the financial wherewithal to really challenge this outcome? Should we find out that the Westchester County Board of Elections is going to be stifled and muzzled because of a lawsuit right now? And when is this thing supposed to get resolved? And what about the public? Shouldn't they know who their next mayor will be? And why are we going through this scenario? It's an outrage that this is being perpetrated on behalf of the people I hear this all the time from Richard Thomas. He's fighting for the people. Well, guess what? 3.5 years you've been fighting for the people. Well, they haven't done very well by your fighting for them, have they? Because evidently you're not fighting for them. You're fighting for yourself. It is all about Richard Thomas and nothing else. And let's not forget, Richard Thomas is going to be facing a lawsuit and he's going to go to court on the 8th of July on other issues where he's being said to have done deleterious conduct and or rather misconduct in as mayor. So there are a lot of issues that are going to come up, and that's only next week. You know, today's already the 2nd. 6 days from now, my goodness, this man is going to go to court, and we'll see where that lands him. And we'll see also if he was able to maintain his position as the mayor of Mount Vernon. And if he's removed because of all the things that are being found out in court that will begin on the 6th of July, the 8th of July, it's going to be very interesting because that's when the person who came in, I think he came in 3rd, was the Mount Vernon City Council President Andre Wallace. So since he's the Mount Vernon City Council member, the next person in line to succeed the mayor for whatever reasons, when the mayor is incapable of attending to his responsibilities as mayor, moves over to the City Council President Andre Wallace. So can you imagine? Here's the guy that came in 3rd. Behind Sean Patterson Howard, behind Richard Thomas, but ahead of Clyde Isley. The bottom line is we got a problem here because then we're going to have Andre Wallace for at least 5 months. And then it moves over, what seems logical to me, that it's going to move over to Sean Patterson Howard. I just cannot believe that this is going to be otherwise. So we'll find out eventually what's going on because at the moment it's very disconcerting that we're all left in the dark. It's just not us personally, but the entire city of 70,000, 75,000 people in Mount Vernon are left on the lurch, not knowing which way things are going to go. And the question is why? Who's created this scenario? Who's created this bluff? Why are we being, you know, dragged through the mud because this is what these guys wanted to do? Who's in control here? And then you know what? Even if we find that there was some malicious intent that was carried out, the question is, does anybody in Mount Vernon or the county that will oversee this whole issue, do they have what it takes? Do they have what it takes to actually respond in a manner that just doesn't work at the moment? So, you know, what are we going to do? I'm sorry, I was doing two things at once. Another call came in, but I can't take the call while we're doing the show. So I think that's what's interesting about all of this at the end of the day is that everything's at a standstill. Nobody knows what's going on. A lot of allegations, finger pointing, and this, that, and the other. The biggest question at the end of the day for me is, if we find that there was something nefarious that went on, is anybody in the city of Mount Vernon or anywhere else going to tell us the truth? Will people go to jail? Will people be not just finger-pointing or BSing or bitching behind the scenes? Will the word come out? Will there be a real story or will this just be another part of the drama that goes nowhere, that does nothing, but it's so consuming that you really have to wonder what's the purpose of all of this? And it seems that it is all about not the public interest, but about keeping people in power. And that's the problem. And people are starting to realize it. Even the voter is realizing it. They may go out there to vote because they think it's the right thing to do, and it is the right thing to do, but it doesn't seem to matter how they vote, which way they vote. There's always somebody around trying to steal the show. And evidently that's been happening in Mount Vernon for a very long time. And it's not the only place. So we're not coming down on Mount Vernon. The bottom line is it's happening all across the country. And, you know, to some degree or another, some places are just cleaner than others, and others have, you know, it's interesting. You know, there's always this constant grabbing of money. And you know what? And that seems to be the only thing of interest to so many people in politics. Unbelievable power and capacity. It should be a platform. One of the biggest things of all, considering that you had a young man of color, you know, representing the city of Mount Vernon. He would be the first person of color, but the bottom line is he was young. He was supposedly connected with a lot of different people, but evidently that turned out to be wanting in many places. And his resume of accomplishment, self-ascribed, was not always as it was, as the way he said it. And so there are a lot of things that came into the forefront which weren't known in the very beginning. And that's really the biggest problem. The public is so, they may have an understanding of what's going on. Like there's a local drumbeat, and you know what's going on in your community, wherever that happens to be. But the fact that Mount Vernon has very little media outlets and has caused the city to decay under its own weight. And that's been going on for years. And people just never wanted to delve into what was happening in Mount Vernon. And so much illegality had taken place. I don't even know what the city is going to do. There are lawsuits pending to the tune of almost $2 million from law firms that represented Mr. Thomas. And they're going to be suing the city for this money. You know, and it just becomes really outrageous. Everywhere you look, money's being spent. That's the taxpayers' money. And yet at the same time, you know, the mayor is, or the present mayor is, fighting for the people. How so? How's he fighting for the people? But he wants them to come in and have a demonstration because the comptroller didn't send out payment for toilet paper in the Dole Senior Center. Why does he need to do that? What's the point of this charade? Why, he can't speak and issue a statement to that effect? He needs to drag in out these elderly senior citizens to come down and do a press conference in his in the chambers of the mayor's office? Really, is that all? Is that it? Is that the best you can do? Really, you need to go there? Why? What's the point of this stupid drama? But that's what it is. It's all hysteria. It's all hysterical. It's one scene after another, debauched thinking. It's such a scandal, no matter how it is. Even if the allegations about this particular race is right at the moment, we didn't get here for no reason. We got here because it's been as corrupt as sin forever and ever. You know, it's amazing. We're such a poor community, so it's claimed and so it's described. The amount of wealth in Mount Vernon would probably floor many communities around the nation. The bottom line is it's not poor. It's not destitute. There are many people who are challenged and are destitute, and like in every community all over. But it seemingly nobody seems to be in the present administration, or even in the administration before, with Ernie Davis, no less. Here's an octogenarian who just ran through and did so many things that were considered illegal, and the bottom line is, you know, he's going nowhere. He's still free as a bird. you know, and he's got a radio show, no less. So you could hear him, I guess, once a week. I don't listen to his broadcast, such a bunch of hooey. I used to listen to it, but it just goes nowhere. You'd think the guy is high on marijuana. I used to visit him every now and then, years and years ago. I came to the mayor's office. That place reeked of marijuana. He must have been smoking all day and all night for who knows in that office, but it just wouldn't stop. And who knows, maybe that's what he, you know, that was his lifestyle. That might be the case, but you would think there'd be a different way. But because he had the power of mayor at the time, he could do whatever he pleased and nobody challenged him when it was illegal anyway. But who cares about the law when you control the law? I guess that's the way it seems to go. Well, it looks like I can't believe I've been talking to you about this. Unfortunately, we are going to miss the wisdom and the latest news from Sean Patterson Howard, and she ran for mayor. She won the most number of votes. She has over 200 votes in her favor, and so that at the moment it looks like she's eclipsing the effort of the present mayor, who was running for re-election, but he's short by 200 some odd votes. And we're waiting for certification of the results from the Westchester County Board of Elections by tomorrow. Not today, it'll be tomorrow. So we'll see where they go. And hopefully people will be comforted by the outcome. And I guess there are going to be so many people finger-pointing at the Westchester County Board of Elections, and you really have to wonder why they would question their integrity now. They never questioned it before. You know, this is where you get along to get along. If there was a problem years ago, you should have brought it up. Everybody all of a sudden loves to rewrite history as if they know what went on. Well, they didn't know what went on. Maybe they learned about it now, but if they knew about it then, why didn't they say something about it in order that we can make corrections? Not me personally or anybody else personally, but it should have been brought up. Where were these letters of to the editor? Where are all these things, all these modalities to reach out and speak to the people that matter? You couldn't there have been a letter sent even to the governor of the state? How about the New York State Attorney General? How about other people that would have that? I can't imagine people don't respect anybody in the political realm. You may be more concerned about one or the other, but the bottom line is not everyone is on the take. Not everyone is messing up. And I think people know who's who. They could tell you what's going on. You know, it's just that we've lost a lot of faith. That's the problem. And it's become a real issue for a lot of people because so many people have turned out to be not who they claimed they were, and so their reputation is sullied, and nobody knows who to believe anymore, which is really a frightening situation. Well, let's see, we've got literally a couple of seconds more to go, and then I'll dial up Israel, and hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of David Rubin without intruding into anything else that he does, because he's always on a very, very tight schedule. I know that. So, okay. So, you know what? While we're waiting, let me play a commercial for you, and then we'll be right back.
The Yonkers Tribune, named Home of the Acid-Tongued Bloggers by the New York Times, is a multifaceted news organization dedicated to keeping the citizens of Yonkers and Westchester informed via the internet and radio. Hezzy Aris is the tireless publisher, editor, and radio host of the Yonkers Tribune. He is a balding, bearded gnome, equipped with a digital camera and a steno pad at all times. Hezzy is frequently spotted in local meetings, translating the events into a Baroque prose style with an infusion of well-mannered outrage. The Yonkers Tribune attracts an informed, well-educated, affluent audience who hungers to know more about politics in all its permutations and nuances. Politics, says Hezzy, is our forte. Advertising inquiries are always welcome. Please call Hezzy Aris at 914-562-0834 or send an email to ehezi@hush.com.
Welcome back. Well, they've changed the number at the Yonkers Tribune. You can now reach them by cell, by office, by voicemail, and text at 347-415-4326. So 347-415-4326. So now let's see if I can get a hold of David Rubin, and hopefully he'll be there to accept our call. Okay, so this will be good. We'll see. We're still dialing, and don't forget, we're dialing halfway around the world. So we'll see how this goes. All right. Well.
Shalom, hegatem lekeren shilo lealdei Yisrael veDavid Rubin. Na leashir hoda. You have reached the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, and.
Okay. Well. We're going to try him at another number, so he must be at the other number, and we'll try that one. So bear with me a moment. It's got two numbers, and I checked it again this morning to make sure that I was dialing the right one, and so he might be at another one of his offices. Bear with me a moment. Okay, let's try him there. All right. All right, we're ringing away. We'll see what happens here. Okay. Well, one thing is for sure. At least we're dialing out. Hear it. It's all there. We'll see what goes on. Okay. It seems it may have stopped, so what we're going to do is we're going to go back and try to dial that first number again, and maybe he's there this time. One second. I'm sorry to put you guys through. Hello.
Shalom. Higatem lekeren shilo lealdei Yisrael, na leashir hoda'ah. Hello, you've reached the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. Please leave your message.
Okay, well, we're going to try him on the other number because he's not answering on this one. Okay, oh, I see somebody's calling. We'll see who that is. Good morning, caller. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, good
this
morning.
Is Sean.
Hi, how are you? I was expecting you a half hour earlier, but that's okay because I'm having trouble reaching our guest in Israel at the moment. So first of all, how are you? Congratulations on your win, even though we haven't certified the actual election contest. Where do we stand? Because I hear certification is supposed to come down the pike tomorrow.
Yes, it is. Certification is supposed to come down tomorrow. I'll be up at the Board of Elections at 10:30 in the morning.
Okay. Well, one thing that was a bit disconcerting, I initially heard last week that there were assertions made by the present mayor, Richard Thomas, that suggested that he claimed that he got notice that there might be some hanky-panky going on with regard to the election process, that some people were dissuaded from voting in their regular polling area, or that they were told to go from the north part of the city to the south, and so on and so forth. And that many places didn't even accept a written documentation or an affidavit that could have been done. And the fact that Richard Thomas brought this up days later, I found very disconcerting. Why wouldn't he warn the public to be aware that this might be a conceivable threat, if assuming he took it credibly? But evidently he didn't seem to think very much about it until after the fact, should it have even happened. I mean, how do you see this? More hysteria.
I mean, I see it as I'm a sports fan. I'm a sports fan, and so I see it as that typical Monday morning quarterbacking where we talk about should have, could have, would have. Look, I've been involved in elections, you know, just as a volunteer going back to the age of about 15, and I know that it's standard on election day. If there are problems, you make phone calls right there to the Board of Elections. Mayor Thomas and all of the campaigns had more than adequate people set up at each polling site. And so if anyone was experiencing troubles at that time, there were representatives and poll watchers from each of the campaigns that would have called back to headquarters, their respective headquarters, and said, look, there are a lot of people whose names aren't showing up. There are people who are being turned away. The workers aren't getting paperwork for affidavits. None of that happened.
Yeah.
And so when the numbers come in and the final numbers come in and you see that you've lost, you know, clearly now this is a Hail Mary pass. And it's not unexpected. This is Richard Thomas.
Yeah, it just seems to be right. I would have to concur with you. It's just such drama. It just has to stop. I can't take it anymore because it just doesn't seem to end. It really rubs me the wrong way. I never ever thought that the Westchester County Board of Elections would be challenged the way he's suggesting they will be challenged in this particular case. I don't even know who's paying for all these allegations that he's making. He's going to be in court on the 8th of July, and yet he's fighting on this
election
front to do what?
I'm going to kind of step away from it in a second because this is the type of politics and politics that the residents of Mount Vernon and I'm thinking throughout the country even have become so weary of. Not leery, but just wearied. They're tired of it. They're tired of the vortex of distraction. And this is just more of the same. And so as far as I'm concerned, the election's over. The results will be certified tomorrow. We've been respectful of the process, and we're already starting conversations about not just November, but what are we doing right now to begin the healing in Mount Vernon, to expand our tent, and to make sure that we're working with everyone to focus on Mount Vernon's future. So if I had to create a hashtag, it would be, forward focused. I'm forward focused.
Okay.
Hashtag forward focused.
Well, so I understand that you're going to be focused on the future because you're preparing for taking over the helm next year. I can't believe time flies when you're having fun. But so what are the things that you have to tackle now in order to get to that point where you feel that your candidacy will have blossomed into a full functioning group of people that will be able to move the city forward?
Clearly there were multiple campaigns, or as other people would call camps. We've already had conversations. I've had one-on-one conversations with every single person that I ran against in this race, including Ernie Davis. And I think most people are really focusing on the future of Mount Vernon. There is still a November general election, and so clearly that is a race that we'll have to run. And so we'll chew gum and ride the bike at the same time. We'll focus on pulling people together and make sure that we're working with many of the stakeholders in Mount Vernon to start planning for the transition. Look, Mount Vernon is going through a lot. Mount Vernon's going through a lot. And instead of 6 weeks from a November election to a January September, the primary is usually in September, so we have an extra few months. And I'm not going to waste these next 2 months on bickering. I'm going to take advantage of these extra months to really focus on what are we going to do with the police department? What are we going to do with the building department, each of the departments? How are we going to bring the residents of Mount Vernon together? How are we going to strengthen our relationship with the county, with the state, with the federal agencies? How are we going to work with our municipal partners in the Bronx, in New Rochelle, in Yonkers, White Plains? How are we going to heal some of these relationships with the residents in Pelham who have been up in arms over the past few weeks, you know, about some of the festivals that have happened? These are the things that we're focused on. How are we going to strengthen our Democratic City Committee? Because we want to make sure that Mount Vernon, you know, has that strong seat at the table and that we're able to really produce the number of votes in Mount Vernon that has traditionally been able to turn and really impact elections throughout Westchester. So we're focused on the progress of Mount Vernon. As I've said from the beginning, this is not about me. Yes, I am looking to be the mayor, but I'm looking not just to strengthen my influence, but bring my influence to bear and on the city of Mount Vernon.
Well, you know, I've always felt that no matter where the city, no matter what the politics, that an individual with a strong backbone and a positive and demeanor can really change the course and direction of the city. And you seem to inspire that among a lot of people. And is that a burden, or is that something that comes almost naturally, that you don't have to take a second deep breath to realize, well, this is appropriate and this isn't? So where do you get your ethical backbone from?
Well, I mean, look, I was raised in a family that focused on service, not just to the community, but specifically Mount Vernon. I have a very strong personal faith tradition. I am a minister. Even leadership, he says, you know, the Bible says the greatest of you is the least among you. And so while I might have the title, it's still with I'm a servant leader. I'm a servant leader. I can make hard and tough decisions. You know, people confuse what a servant leader is. A servant leader definitely is a tough person, but we know how to manage power. And I think the greatest responsibility of power is restraint and learning how to work with people as opposed to dominate people. I'm not a manager. I'm a leader. I've been managed in my life, and I've never done well under managers. So I try to lead. I try to operate as a leader which will inspire people, encourage people, give them strong direction, enhance and increase people's capacity, because leaders create leaders and managers just create people who follow directions. And I want to create leaders. We need to create a leadership pipeline in Mount Vernon, not only for our departments, but for our community, in the business community, in the faith community, in the civic community, neighborhood associations. We want to make sure that we're training people and increasing the capacity of our residents to take a very active role in the future policies, systems, and environmental change that our community desperately needs. It's about expanding your army.
Right. Well, it's interesting that what you just espouse is almost in juxtaposition to what's going on the political platform across the nation. So many different places are not looking to expand the base of power, and they don't have a mechanism to build new leaders and people with expertise. They're almost afraid of it. So it's more of a controlling mechanism rather than to see a natural outcome where the best, move up the ladder because they've earned it and because they've shown their credibility. So, again, how do you find that that's going to fit? Well, I'm sure people thirst for that capacity to be able to be engaged and involved and to do something that's of value rather than to be marginalized by a process. So how is it that you find the strength to do that, whereas others have failed for the last 25 years, not just in Mount Vernon? So it's not a thing to diminish Mount Vernon in any way, but it's happening all over, including Westchester County. A lot of places suffering it.
Well, the easiest way to explain it, that's just how I'm wired.
Okay.
That's how I'm wired. Every personality assessment that I've taken, whether it's Myers-Briggs or the Fascination Advantage or you know, Gallup's strength finders, my 360 assessments, you know, all things that I've done through my executive leadership training nationally with the YMCA. I've taken at least 10 different professional leadership assessments, and they all come out very similar, you know, saying that I'm a person who's restorative. I focus on individuation and finding, you know, how do you work with the people to make it happen? How do you find the uniqueness in each person to expand it? I'm strategic. I'm inclusive. It sometimes takes a little bit more time, but when you lay the foundation proper, then you can build much higher and much stronger when you lay a sure foundation. And oftentimes people do not take time. Sometimes you have to break up the foundation, you have to dig it deeper, and you have to lay a new one. And that's the type of work I've had to do over and over again as I've gone into organizations that were failing and struggling. You know, it wasn't just coming in and knocking down the building and rebuilding. Sometimes it was digging up the foundation. And when you take out the time to do that, then what you build upon it can be much stronger and it can last. I've been a voter. Up until this time, I've never participated in the political process as a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I found about me, and I think I'm the typical voter, I'm tired of people telling me who I have to vote for. I'm tired of having to choose between the lesser of two evils. Well, I really don't like this person, but I really dislike this one over there. I'm not inspired, but I don't want this person to win, so I go out and I'll vote. And people have become tired, and so when you see low voter turnout, and when you see people not being excited and inspired, that's because we haven't given them great choices. I want to give people great options. I want them to be part of the process. Again, that might sound sound naive, but when I told them, that's why I did all of these cottage parties and these meet and greets. They said, you're taking out all of this time, and sometimes you're speaking to 15 people. But as I spoke to those 15 people, then they were able to carry a message forward. Each cottage party was two and a half hours. And they were and I had to answer questions, hard questions, without a buffer, with no buffer.
Right. Well, that's what it's all about. One thing that's really interesting and compelling as well, some of the best leaders I've ever bumped into, but then again, I haven't been all over the world, but in Westchester County, there are two people that stand out in my mind that have been absolutely so phenomenal. I don't even have the words to describe how exemplary they are. And one of them happens to be a neighbor to Mount Vernon. Her name is Mary Marvin. She's the mayor of Bronxville. It's a small little village, I think under 7,000 people. I mean, so it's like one-tenth the size of Mount Vernon. And then another person that seems to have also gravitated and comes out of the same pea pod, which I think you come out of as well, is Victoria Garrity from the village of Austin. She's the mayor up there. And she runs a city with about, I think about 35 to 40,000 people. So they're, you know, they're less, but what shows them to be so exemplary is that they're able to get people to work together and to move together, to focus on issues, and also to contest very, very troubling concerns, and yet at the same time still recognize and respect one another in the process, because it's a process. It's not a personal hate thing. And I don't know, is that the sisterhood that you belong to? Because a lot of guys don't belong to that sisterhood. I don't know if it's a question of hormones or if it's something else. But so these are phenomenal people. You've got great examples.
I think it is something unique about women. Look, we raise our kids, and you know, it's not like we can send them away. So we have to find ways to get them to get along. Lots of sibling rivalry, lots of stomping of the feet, lots of temper tantrums. And so, you know, we learn how to herd cats in our own family. we really do. You know, you always talk about, oh, it's like herding cats. Well, you know, we have to do that in our homes every day. I don't care how loving your family is. there's always some type of rivalry. You have to always find out what everyone wants, what their needs are, and find ways to make it happen. You have to run your house, and regardless of what resources aren't there, you can't make excuses. You have to find a way to grow your resources or cut things that are nice but are not necessary to run your house. And so these are things that we just have to do, and people disregard PTA. They disregard soccer moms. They disregard Girl Scout moms. You know, those were some things that those were some of my first leadership experiences outside of student government. If we just hold true and hold fast to the very foundations of what we were taught, like I said in kindergarten, you know, when you're tired, take a nap. When you mess up, clean after yourself. As a Girl Scout, leave a place better than what you found it. Be fair, live by the golden rule. Tell the truth, even when it's not an easy truth. People appreciate a hard truth rather than a soft lie. They just do.
Right.
And that's just how I've always conducted myself. And I lean into hard conversations. I don't run away from them because I want to grow and I want to be challenged and I want to learn and I want to understand. But at the same time, I also want to teach and I want to correct. And I want to make better.
I want to ask you one last thing, since the Westchester County Board of Elections are going to certify the election tomorrow. Are all the contenders that ran for that political office, do they get to sit in, or is that just a press release that comes out of the Westchester County Board of Elections? Can they be stalled? Legally?
No, I think anyone.
Is there a way to stop them?
No, anyone can attend, I'm assuming. You know, we'll go up there because it's, you know, why not? I want to be there when the final numbers are counted.
Right.
And I expect after the final numbers are counted that they will still be in our favor. And we'll be able to move forward from there. This, you know, my understanding is this is where we are. So it's kind of like we get to finish tomorrow after those the counting of the numbers, what we started on election night.
My God, I never expected it to be so difficult. It's not even it's not like a heart attack. It just seems like, oh my God, what are we doing? Why does this have to go like this? And especially since it was a primary and there weren't that many contests all over, this should be so easily resolved. You know, and now everything is electronic, and affidavits.
Right.
Say
part
that again.
Of this is procedural. Part of it's procedural
right.
because you know the Board of Elections has to wait for 7 days. You know, up until today, at the end of business today, to see what absentee ballots they continue to get in the mail, that's when the final numbers are done, and so. It's not that they haven't counted or can't count or don't have enough time to count what they've gotten.
Yeah.
They're just going to count everything at once after the deadline has passed, and instead of counting a few here and there. You know, it's just procedural. And I respect
that
the process.
Sense.
I respect the process. And, you know, so that's why tomorrow, probably at about this time, we should have a final number.
Yeah.
We should have a final number. And we're going forward. You know, even if he files a lawsuit, he's filing it against the Board of Elections. This is their process. They'll defend it.
Yeah.
They'll focus on it. And while they're focusing on that, I will be focusing, as we've been doing. We've had incredible conversations, absolutely incredible conversations with, you know, civic groups, business community, faith community, municipal leaders from throughout Mount Vernon, Westchester County, the state of New York. We've had great conversations. People are excited. People are, I was overwhelmed and very humbled about how excited people are and looking forward to doing business with Mount Vernon again. I didn't understand just how bad our reputation had become. I knew how I was feeling. I knew how I was feeling, but I didn't know how much that permeated throughout the region, and you know, it's like I said, it's very humbling. that people would have the confidence and would just be excited about the fact that, you know, I'm winning the primary and they're looking forward to working with me and reinvesting in Mount Vernon and partnering with Mount Vernon.
Yeah, that's everything. I think people are very encouraged by this hopefully certified change, because I just don't know what people would do if it didn't change like it's expected to, with you being certified the designee of the primary. So it's almost like a done deal. If you win the primary in Mount Vernon, which is predominantly a Democratic city, I can't imagine that there could be a challenge from anywhere else. And you know, write-in votes just seem to go nowhere. I mean, that just doesn't seem to make any sense. So it'll be fascinating. We'll see where it all goes. Well, I wish you much success, and I wish you a good day tomorrow and a good day after that as well, and a happy 4th of July.
And the same to you. Just one closing thought, and, you know, based on your
sure.
last statement, you know, challengers, and November is still a November election, and we're going to work
okay.
just as hard between now and November to get the vote out, to inform, to activate, to energize, to educate, and to empower the residents of Mount Vernon, because we want
okay.
this to be a mandate for change. We want it to be a clear mandate for change. We want people to see that the residents of Mount Vernon are engaged and they're excited about
right.
the future and that they're fully awake. We want to expand the civic process and the civic engagement of our residents. And I don't want to wait to do that after January 1st. If we can tap into the collective energy and harness the collective energy and resources of our citizenry, then when we move in on January 1st, we're already going to have a group of people who are ready to work, and that's what we want to make happen.
Okay, excellent. Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
That's a great note to conclude our interview and our discussion with you. All the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Heavy.
My pleasure. Sean Patterson Howard, and we'll wait for the certification of the election process tomorrow that's going to be eventually given expression by the Westchester County Board of Elections. So that'll be really cool. All right, we're going to move on. Let's see if we can just get a hold of Mr. Rubin in Israel. It's like a half hour later than expected, but we couldn't get a hold of him before, so that was a problem. Let's see if he's there at this time. Okay, I don't think so.
Hello?
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 David?
Hello, yes,
David.
Who's this?
This is Hezzy. I know we were supposed to get on earlier, and I tried, but I couldn't get through. And
I just missed your call, apparently.
Okay.
And I didn't know how to get back to you. And now I'm in the middle of something. Could we reschedule?
Yeah, of course we can, and that's what.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Whatever inconvenience I caused you.
No, you didn't cause any inconvenience. Things happen. You know, it is just what it is. I'm not infected.
Okay.
I don't want you to feel uncomfortable about it either.
Okay. Do you want to just drop me an email and we'll reschedule? Okay.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Not a problem. Oh, you know what's interesting? If it works for you, tomorrow at 11 o'clock I can actually accommodate you if you wanted to.
It should be good.
I mean,
drop me an email, and I will zap it back to you within the hour.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
All the best. Bye.
Okay. Thanks, Kazi. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.